I've been to, as you have, right, the Holy Land many times, going back in March. And one of my favorite places to go, it's hard to choose one favorite place because there's so many, but one of my favorite places to go is the Shepherd's Fields in Bethlehem. And what we do is we take our group and we stop at a place where you can go and have a devotion and have, you know, time to look around and sing some Christmas songs. Usually sing Christmas songs there appropriately. And I tell folks in the devotion that I lead, you know, if I could be one place in history where, you know, you could get in a time machine and you could go back and be one place in history, again, of all human history, it's hard to say where would you like to be most if you could choose one. But I got to think it was being in those fields with those shepherds when the angel appeared and announced, you know, to them the coming of Jesus, the birth of Christ, and what took place in the heavens there that night. I just can't imagine anything being more, you know, I mean, wow. Why do you think that God did that announcement in that way?
You know, one part of the answer clearly is who the shepherds were. If you made a sort of a career ladder in ancient Israel, nobody would put shepherds up near the top. I mean, if you went to the, you know, if you went to that National Honor Society of the high school, so to speak, and you said to the promising young men, you know, what do you want to be? They might say priest. They might say politician. They might say king or military leader. Nobody ever said shepherd. It was way down on the economic ladder. And I mean, this was blue collar, outside, hard work, taking care of the sheep, long days, long nights. I mean, we've made it kind of pastoral, but that was a tough kind of life. And some Bible scholars, Tim, have pointed out that great many of the shepherds would have been young. So we don't need to think of the shepherds as being 45 or 50 years old. They were probably younger than that, 30s, 20s, probably some shepherds in their teenage years out there watching the sheep at night. And I think one of the messages of the whole story is, hey, look what happened. The Magi show up and they come to Bethlehem, and whereas he was born king of the Jews, and, you know, King Herod asked the scribes and they give him the answer. Is in Bethlehem, you know, Micah 5:2, but they don't even care enough to go 6 miles to see the Son of God. But here are these lowly, I mean, that's the right word, these lowly, menial, blue-collar workers who would not be at the top of anybody's career favorites. Nobody really wanted to necessarily be a shepherd. God shows up, not to the high and mighty, and not to the powerful, and not to the proud, but he shows up to the humble, forgotten, and somewhat despised shepherds, as if, Tim, to say, here is, I got some really good news for you. And he brings the good news, not to the front runners, but to the most unlikely people in the world. We ought to take great encouragement for that. It's what the pastor just pointed out, Jim Moore pointed out, that he's not just the Savior for the rich and powerful. He's the Savior for the whole wide world.
Talking about what happened 2,000 years ago, there's a reason, as they say, the old expression, the reason for the season. We celebrate Christmas because of the birth of Jesus Christ. I know that's been hijacked, the holiday, Christmas, that is, for many other reasons. And but the reason for this season, the reason the holiday exists in the first place, is because of what happened 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. Why Bethlehem? Does the Bible tell us why Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem? Right?
Well, it's the city of David.
What does that mean?
Well, it's the city David came from. That's where David was. That's where David was watching the sheep. You know, when he was called to come to the battlefield, he was watching the sheep on the in those same fields.
Oh, really? That was where it happened?
Where it happened. So Bethlehem was the city of David. Jesus was born, son of Abraham, son of David. So it was, and that's why, you know, again, you go back to that story of King Herod asking the religious professionals, well, who is this king of the Jews? They knew the answer. Bam, it comes from Micah chapter 5. God had promised 700 years earlier he was going to send the Messiah, the Savior. He wasn't just going to be born anywhere, but he was going to come out of Bethlehem, the city of David, in fulfillment of promises that go back not only to King David, but ultimately go back to man by the name of Abraham. So it happened that way. It's God saying, hey, guess what? It's been a long time. You've been waiting a long time, but I said he was going to come. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. Guess what? Here he is. The moment has arrived.
Okay, so are there prophecies in the Old Testament that prophecies by definition precede? So are there prophecies in the Old Testament that talk about the birth of Jesus Christ which were fulfilled and came to pass? That's what you just talked about, one of them, I think. So that if that's true, if you can be specific about that, then that would mean that, that's a prophecy that comes true would be supernatural in this respect, right?
Well, I think the way to look at these Old Testament prophecies is think of a funnel with a wide opening at the top and narrow at the bottom. You're going to pour water into it, so there's a really wide brim, and you have these narrowing circles of prophecy. You start in Genesis 3:15, he's going to be the seed of the woman, and then you go to Genesis 12, and he's going to be the son of Abraham. Then he's going to be the son of Isaac. Then he's going to come out of Jacob. Then he's going to come out of Judah. So the line is narrowing. And then he is going to be born of a virgin. That's Isaiah 7. He's going to be born in Bethlehem. That's Micah chapter 5. And suddenly you're down to Matthew chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2. And when the angel shows up to Joseph in the dream, he quotes Isaiah 7:14. Your wife, Mary's pregnant, but don't worry. This is in fulfillment of what Isaiah said hundreds of years earlier. And then the shepherds are outside Bethlehem, and that's why the angels show up there in exact fulfillment of the promise God made through Micah that it was going to be born of a virgin in the little town, the little village of Bethlehem. So you start with these promises that are broad, the seed of the woman, then Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Judah, and David, and then you come on down, and then there it is. I mean, there you are. You're with, right there, you're outside the village of Bethlehem, and you're on the hillside, and you're a shepherd, and all of a sudden, you know, glory to God in the highest, on earth, peace to men of goodwill. He's here. And by the way, what does the very next verse say? That's Luke 2:15. The shepherds said to one another, let's go straight to Bethlehem, because they were good Jewish boys. They understood the promise too. The moment has come. The Messiah has arrived in exact fulfillment of promises God made hundreds of years earlier.
Well, folks, for those who don't believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, you know, it's the kinds of things that Ray's talking about, prophecies in the Old Testament, which came true with Jesus in the New Testament, only prove and confirm that the Bible is true in what it says about all things, but certainly what it says about Jesus Christ and his birth, his coming to earth was prophesied in the Old Testament and came to pass in the New Testament. And one of the things that came to pass was that Jesus was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, as Ray just described a few minutes ago. That's just one thing that was fulfilled with the birth of Jesus Christ.